turn her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacking just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth. She wants to ride it.
Lot of kiddos out of school today. A lot of kiddos got a
4-day weekend.
That's right, the old 4-day weekend. Man, when you were a kid, was there anything better than a 4-day weekend? I mean, besides summer vacation and like spring break, Christmas break, but like,
I don't think we ever had 4-day weekends.
Come on.
Yeah, there's one thing better. Snow day on a Friday, having Monday off.
Oh, the so the unexpected, yes, the unexpected 4-day weekend.
That's the best.
What about the snow day on the Monday? You're saying because you don't typically have a Friday off, like a holiday, like a national holiday, like a President's Day or something like that. Obviously, Memorial Day on Monday. Remember, it's Memorial Day when you are exchanging greetings with folks. It's Memorial Day. You know, that's a new thing in the last decade or so. So 4-day weekend, lots of kiddos are out of school, and it sounds like people take advantage of a 4-day weekend. It sounds like, Joshy, you've got some pals who are trying to take advantage of the fact that a lot of people don't have to work on Monday. And therefore, if you're going to have a big old party, if you're going to have a shindig, you're going to throw a gala of sorts, this is the weekend to do it, huh?
Yeah. We've got a wedding to attend. This Saturday is right here in the city. It is many, many, many of our friend group. It is sort of one of the central figures. Therefore, everybody we usually spend time with will be at said wedding.
Pause. How does one become a central figure of the friend group?
Well, they're sisters, so they're together often. They're often in the middle of whatever we've got going on. I would consider, like, myself and Mussolini also one of those. So had we getting married, there would be all these people would be there because this is sort of the group. The 10 to 12 usual people who are at most events.
I'm not a central figure. I am just realizing this. I am a
peripheral, ancillary,
non-central figure.
We are. We entertain.
Yes.
10 to 1, I would say, at our house. Maybe even more than that.
I'm glad you mentioned entertaining.
Why?
Because part of this wedding, there is a welcome party because people are coming out of town, obviously, tonight. So that is going to take up the entirety of my night. Tomorrow, the wedding starts at 4:30.
Wait, what? Friday wedding or Saturday wedding?
Tomorrow, Saturday.
Saturday wedding. Got it.
So the wedding starts tomorrow at 4:30. Do you have any guesses at what time people will be arriving at my house prior to the wedding?
4:30. I mean, is your house close to the wedding venue?
Not particularly, but within 10 minutes.
Okay.
2 o'clock.
Because I know that an old apartment that you had,
yep,
when I got married, was a central. It was close enough to where the venue
walking
that I
distance.
Got married, yes, that a lot of people showed up at your place to pregame before my wedding, which made sense.
Yep.
I don't know. So 4:30 wedding, 2?
No.
Wrong.
Because detective work, as we sleuth this case out, you mentioned that Mussolini, not my name, your name for her.
Yep.
That's just her name.
Does makeup.
And hair.
And hair.
Yeah, the hair part's the important
part. So people will be coming over early to have their hair and their makeup done for said wedding.
Jen, you're dead on.
And that means hours and hours and hours. How many people? Give me a rough number of people that
I
are
believe
getting
3 people.
I would dedicate an hour to each person. So we're backing up. 10? 10 o'clock?
10 a.m., Jen. So on Saturday, from 10 a.m. to the end of the wedding, and then whatever we do after, I'm going to be with this group of people. And then, to add to it, on Sunday, there is a little bar crawl planned, a little impromptu, hey, everybody, we had a good time at the wedding, let's all go out. And I think, I contend, this is way too much time to be spending, even with your best of friends.
Maybe at home, but not on the road.
Yeah, because if you go on a vacation.
Right,
like, we love going
vacation.
To Key West. We go on a Friday, leave on a Sunday. Perfect. I don't call me or anything till Thursday.
I don't
right?
want to talk to you
I don't. But if it's in your own house, it's like, All right, you need to leave because I would assume, Josh, you need to be showered and ready to go by 10 o'clock.
Yes. Yeah. Now, let me get this clear.
Wait. You've got to be like in your nice clothes for that long?
No, I won't be. I'll probably be like showered, but I won't get dressed until probably within like 30 minutes. You don't want your suit to get wrinkly.
Yeah.
No.
I totally agree.
But it's still, you're entertaining, you're helping, you're getting stuff, you are in conversations with people the entire time.
You're on.
Yes.
That's what we call it. When you have to, when you go to an event and you can't just be yourself. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, you're a version of yourself.
Yeah.
But you're making small talk, you're interested, you're remembering details. It is mentally exhausting.
Are all these people your peeps? Are there some peripheral?
That's what I was going to say. I mean, there'll be peripherals probably like at the event tonight, but at the house, and like the main people are all people I want to be clear I enjoy and I like spending time with. It's not like there's people I'm like, I'd rather not be with them. These are all friends of mine who on a usual weekend I am very happy to see. I just think 3 consecutive days, many of them spent upwards of 8 hours on Sunday, way more than 12 on Saturday, and then tonight as well. I think that's too much.
Because I have rules with friends, with people that we know, with the circles. And there are certain people I tell Ange, I'm like, nope, it's got to be at least one other couple with us if we're going. Can't do a one-on-one.
Wait. Like a buffer? Like
yes.
A buffer friend?
And then there's some people that need two.
Two buffers.
Yes.
So if you are making me hang out with this couple,
yes, there has
I need
to be
four
at least,
other people.
Yes. Four.
Okay. Is that because their personality is draining, exhausting? You don't have anything in common? What's the explanation for the one buffer or two buffers?
Well, I'm trying to say this
I know you
nicely,
are.
And I just can't do
okay,
it.
Okay.
The one guy's a knob. Sorry, just a knob. And then the other guy just gets way too high, and you can't even communicate with him.
Are we talking on gummy
life?
High?
On or? Life?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, he lives in Florida. There's
and
different
I was
rules
telling
down there,
these
Josh.
Guys. I hope he's not listening. Could the worst possible dinner you could go to with this couple? The worst. What would be the worst setup? And it was the worst. It was terrible.
The worst setup. Are we talking like table arrangement?
Yes.
Or
yes,
yep.
Table arrangement.
So think about it.
You know?
He spilled the beans
think
earlier.
Think of the worst.
He got fired up before the show, was complaining already.
I don't know. Tell me.
Hibachi.
Oh.
I was
stuck
in the
very
corner.
End, and he was right there, and I'm like.
You got nobody else.
Yeah.
You got nobody
stuck.
Else.
You're on an island.
Stuck. I'm like, oh my God.
You're on Knob Island.
So now there's a caveat to the rule. Okay, one other couple and no hibachi.
So there was an hibachi amendment that was written in this contract.
Yes.
I do think that there is something to what Josh is saying about how many hours is too many hours to spend with a group of people. And again, I want to be clear. I love my friends as much as the next person, and I want to be around them and stuff. But I still even need those moments away, right? We went on vacation for spring break. 25 of us in a house, which was great, all my family members, but everybody needed a few moments to just like decompress, if you will, right? We got kids running around, it was fun, the pool and all that stuff, but everybody was allowed a few moments to just get away, go do something on your own. That to me is what it sounds like Joshy needs this week. He needs like a few reprieves, if you will, from the crowd. So 30 hours seems like a lot. What's your max? What's your max, Gabe? Bunch of people hanging out.
Well, so that's the thing. Like, I think Chewy's right. Because I think of this year when I went down to Florida and I played 36 holes a day for 3 straight days with the same 3 guys. Like, 2 of us were staying together. The other 2 were staying together. But we were just around each other. You know, we had lunch at the, you know, at the golf course we were at. Had dinner at the golf course we were playing at. Hung out, had drinks at one of our places. Just sitting out back because there's nice weather, you know, after that. But home versus road is completely different.
Yeah, I agree. And there's days that are off limit. And I love my Florida people. I love you. I don't want to go out on a Monday, a Tuesday. The problem down there is it's like you're on vacation. They will go out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, take Friday off, go Saturday. And I'm like, I can't
take
do
Friday
it.
Off.
I'm like, I can't do it.
It's a lot.
I mean, are you making dinner plans on a Monday? Nah.
Typically not, no.
Not till
Thursday.
There's
a lot of restaurants that are closed.
Not till Thursday. Yep. Thursday. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the only days I will go out for dinner. Although, no. Leave me alone.
It's a weird rule. I mean, we go out whenever we want to. Like,
I know, but with us, what follows going out? A bottle of wine.
No.
Not always.
I mean for the table, not.
A couple of things. If you're watching on the YouTube stream, Chewy just winked at Gabe. And you also,
your secret's safe with me.
You also may see my little daughter, my 5-year-old, bopping back and forth behind me here.
I saw a flash of sequins behind you. Yeah.
People are going to be watching things at 3 Men and a Baby where a ghost is popping through the window.
No school. My 5-year-old's here. She's got her iPad. We'll get her. She's eating her breakfast. We'll get her all situated as the show goes on.
Josh, if you need the reprieve, bud. Just skip out on the wedding, come over, have some brisket on Saturday.
You've already sworn in front of her today.
No, I didn't. Did I curse?
You said the S word.
On the radio?
No, right over there.
I did?
Yes.
Well, first of all, nothing new. Okay.
I think those ears have heard that.
Yeah.
Right after she said no potty mouth.
I did?
Yeah, you said have Carrie's here, no potty mouth today, and you're like, shh. I'm like, okay.
Wait, you said no potty mouth. I made no such rule, okay? I know myself. 30 hours seems like a lot. What do you think your maximum is? Let us know, 800-990-3776. And Gabe, I think you make a good point, right? There's different groups, but this feels like it's going to be big. And it feels like it'll probably balloon as the week goes on because of just the dynamics of a wedding, right? Like, you get Klingons. You get the hanger honors, right? You got your group, and then all of a sudden is like, those people seem fun. I want to be with them. And all of a sudden, your group just keeps growing.
Honestly, the going out after the wedding with the same people, after they've been at your house since 10 a.m., that's the part where it's like, poof.
Yeah.
But that's where it should end. Yeah. It shouldn't roll into Sunday. Is that what you're saying?
Well, right. I agree. Yeah, if you're going to do that, right? Because now it's like, okay, especially if some people are from out of town, don't know when you're going to see them. Okay, I can go out after this wedding. But then to go on a bar crawl with the same people on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Like, well, the other thing is, what do you talk about?
I don't know. I mean, Gabe's hung out with me many, many times. I'm not the biggest, like... Unless it's late and I've had a bunch of cold ones. But I pretty much keep to myself. That's generally how. And I end up with people talking to me a lot and I feel like obligated to speak more despite having nothing more to say. Like one of those situations where you're just kind of, you're going into the depths of like, what could I possibly talk about?
You're not a hold court kind of guy?
Not typically.
Really?
No.
No, he will, again, you saw him with the blammer. He'll put quarters into people holding court. Yep. Like, he will build that person up. And if Joshy's entertained, he wants to keep
that
going.
Well, every group needs a guy like that, then.
Yeah, so he's like, he's the one egging on the guy holding court. But Joshy won't hold court very often.
I'm
himself.
Not sure anyone in this room is a hold court
guy.
Yeah,
I hold court.
You do hold court.
Yeah. after that bottle of wine for the table?
Yeah.
Well, wait. That surprises me, because all of us, you like people the least.
That's
he's
true,
got the best
but
stories.
I love making fun of him. So much fun.
So it becomes a roast?
Oh, yeah.
I do that typically,
too.
Oh,
I crush people. Yeah. I like getting laughs, you know? and I'm very observant. Very observant.
I thought you were going to say, and I'm very good at it. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Frankie weighing in saying, look, I know I don't have... best friends out here in Wisconsin, but even if I did, I can't fathom not wanting to hang out with my best friends for days. That's why they're my best friends. Care to clarify, Joshy?
Now, this might be a thing that pertains to only me. There isn't a single person on earth I want to spend that much time with.
That's what I would argue that as well.
Yeah.
Like, 30 hours straight with anyone.
See, and let's be clear here. I'm on the side I just stated. The majority of the people that I'm going to be spending time with are the exact opposite, or much like Frankie, I believe his name was, where there is not, one of the things I say the most with this group is, when is enough enough? Because I'll be like, we've been out for 10 hours. What? I got nothing left. I got nothing to say. This is it. We've done it. We did it.
Tank is empty. Right. Tapped out. I've had all my witty lines. I've done all my things. I've filled you in. You've filled me
in.
What more is there to talk
about?
That's
exactly how I feel.
Need new audience for those jokes.
You run the risk of diving into those forbidden conversation topics, right?
I don't want to
spend too
there.
Much time with people. You start talking politics. You start talking religion. You start talking all those types of things. And then, things can get dicey.
Yeah, I don't care about your work. I'm sorry.
Really?
I don't care about the people
See,
at your work.
I got the most interesting friend. I got one guy that lies about being in the CIA, even though I busted him for being in the CIA. I got another guy who doesn't drink because he's got one lung and one kidney, who's very interesting to hang out with.
A drip.
Isn't it the liver that really is affected by the alcohol?
Well, that's he doesn't drink. He just does.
What do you live in
things.
Florida, the island of misfit toys?
Yeah, kind of feels like it.
He's just collecting them. He meets them. If they fulfill a requirement for him, he's like, you're coming with me.
Yeah.
Okay. We got to get to Jason Wilde. He's coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. A lot of stuff to get to this morning. We'll talk to Jason. We'll talk to Craig Karmazin. And, of course, we've got Rechu coming up in the second hour of the show. Stick around.
The next best round of golf for you. Well, it should be happening at the Wisconsin Country Club. Do what I did. Become a member out at the Wisconsin Country Club. A couple of great things. No assessments. No food and beverage minimums, and a beautiful course that's fun and challenging. I love playing it. I can't wait to get out this afternoon. Going to play it a bunch. Be out there a bunch with the holiday weekend. Tree-lined fairways, greatly groomed greens, and a top 100 teaching pro. Plus, our pool's opening this weekend, and the pool always has Sunday fun days each and every week. Get started today. Visit thewisconsincountryclub.com for membership info. The Wisconsin Country Club, just a fairway away.
Ready? Put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
We love checking in with our friend and teammate, Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, friends.
How are you doing today?
Great. How are you?
We're good. Josh has got a wedding this weekend. He said he's going to spend about 30 hours with the same people. Think you could do it, Jason? 30 hours, same people, your pals?
Don't you think the real question is whether those people can do it with Josh?
Fair question, Jason. It's a fair question. I wouldn't want to hang out with me for that much.
No, I'm kidding. I just wanted to turn it around. I don't know. I think people would say that I don't spend nearly enough time with my friends. So maybe I should like take some shifts for you to lessen the load so you can appreciate the time that you do spend with them. And then they could be like, boy, this guy's not nearly as fun as Josh is. We want Josh back. So let me know if you need some help.
Oh, like Jason, a relief pitcher.
Jason, are you a hold court kind of guy? I mean, I would think people would come up to you, maybe peripheral friends, and say, hey, give me a real good story from the last 25 years.
I've held court from time to time. Again, there aren't many criticisms that Tausch levies in my direction that I personally believe are fair, but the one that he does that is very accurate is that I just don't spend enough time with my friends. Like my attitude has been that the girls are going to grow up and they have very quickly, and then they're going to be out the door, off to college. They're both going to be in high school next year, which is insane to me. And you know how high school is. You don't want to hang out with your parents, even if they're awesome like me. And so they're gonna have all kinds of things, and I'm hopeful that my friends will still exist when I reach that point where I have less time that's focused on them and more free time to spend with other people. But I used to hold court in my day. Thank you very much. I appreciate that question.
Yeah.
Well, but I got to imagine, because what's going to help Josh in this situation, Jason, is the alcohol of hanging out with people. But you don't drink, right? Like you don't drink, so it's got to be tougher. Right. for you to be around people for 30 hours.
I'll spare you all. No, I'm usually throughout my friendship career, shall we say, I've always been the designated driver. I have a very high tolerance for people that have maybe had a few too many. I've become an expert in holding people's hair for them when they're maybe refunding. So I'm actually a great friend to have.
Okay, have all right.
Sounds like it.
When you're having a good time, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But he's got great stories.
I do
like the paintball story, Jason. That's priceless. You know.
For those that don't listen frequently enough to have heard that, because I have told it a lot. And again, I understand that Brett Favre stories that were being told on Netflix are slightly different than this one. He and the Packers went on a team bonding trip during the off-season program when Mike Sherman was the head coach to a paintball facility up here in Green Bay. And while we were waiting for the field to clear for the team to go out on its excursion, you know, we're all standing around and Favre's there with his paintball gun and he's making small talk. And he asks me, "Hey, Jason, which car is yours?" And I had just gotten a brand new Saturn. And I was so excited about it. It was my first car I ever bought.
Pour one out for Saturn.
Yeah, indeed. And you know, it's a beautiful early June day. So I got the windows open and the sunroof. And, you know, I'm an idiot, obviously. And I'm like, the black Saturn over there. He's like, "The one with the sunroof that's open?" I said, "Yep, that's the one right there." Next thing, he's firing his paintball gun, trying to arc, kind of like, I mean, much like his accuracy on some of his deep balls, it was luckily inaccurate, but he's trying to arc paintballs into the sunroof of my car. And fortunately, he missed. So, but I still have the paintballs. I picked them up from around the car, and they are in my Lambo office. There were four of them. The question I've always had about that, too, is like, would I have had to take legal action? Because we know he doesn't pay debts.
Well, I'm
like,
just,
when he loses on the golf course, he doesn't pay.
Well, I'm just wondering if he said to you what he said to Mike Sherman when he was screaming at him in the Netflix thing, did he look at you and say, "What are you going to do?" that would be his attitude.
That's probably
a shame.
What he would have said.
I dented the hell out of your car. Jason, chances of them, or have you heard anything about them trading Romeo Doubs?
I have not heard that. I know that that's been, and it's hard to tell these days, right? When people just kind of conjure up ideas, we're experiencing that obviously with the possibility of Giannis being traded. Like, people just have become like their own trade machines in the media. Again, I don't know what their intent would be there, but if there was a guy, let me put it this way. If there was a guy that I would think that they would be open to offloading, it would be him, right? Not because he's not a good player, but because of last year's incident, because he's in the last year of his contract, you know, that feels still to me a little bit like a trade deadline thing, not an off-season thing, right? Where you're like, "Hey, Golden has emerged. Savion Williams is giving us more than we expected from him as a rookie. Jaden Reed and Dontavian Wicks have made the jump that they didn't make last year." Like, then it would make sense. I don't think they're... I would be surprised if they were looking to offload somebody now. I would also be curious what they would get for him, right? I mean, they've said that they don't think the concussion thing is a long-term issue. I just think, and maybe I'm wrong, but I just think that they'll forgive him for not coming to work last year. I don't think they'll forget that. And I think ultimately he's going to be playing for someone else in 2026 anyway. So maybe you can get something for him sooner rather than later, and it'll be better than what you might get as a compensatory pick if he signs a free agent deal.
Yeah, I'm with you there, Jason, where the earliest it seems like that could happen is the end of training camp, right? Because of all the receivers that they have, as excited as we are about Williams and Golden and the, you know, the first half that Jaden Reed had last year, the second half that Dontavian Wicks had, of all the receivers they have on the roster, the one that you know for who he is right now for sure is Romeo Doubs. Like, he is their most for certain guy right now. So it's kind of the insurance policy. Hey, if these guys don't show that they're growing or they're ready in the case of the rookies, okay, then we need to have Romeo around.
God, that's a great way to describe him, Gabe. Like, he's the one guy that you can, you know what you're getting with him. He is a steady number guy. That's a really good way to view him, because I don't view him as a guy that should be their number one wide receiver.
No.
Right? I don't view him as a guy who is a big play guy. Like, I would say that I view him as a consistent, a guy that'll get you, if it's third and eight, he'll get you 9 yards, as opposed to what we used to say about the great Paul Otkaruth, who, if you need 2 yards, he'll get you 2 yards. And if you need 4 yards, he'll get you 2 yards. So I think that's one of the best ways I've heard him described. I love it.
Jason, it seems like maybe Aaron Rodgers gave a little bit more insight into the personal situation, potentially. I don't know that he drew a direct line between the two, but that some people in his inner circle are dealing with cancer, revealing on the Joe Rogan podcast. Ian O'Connor, who I believe wrote the book on Aaron Rodgers, believes that he will be at mandatory minicamp for the Steelers on June 10th, which now feels like it's right around the corner. Do you agree?
It is. Yeah, I mean, I will say this. You know, that is what he told me. I told you guys that I traded messages with him, you know, whatever that was, 6 weeks ago. I didn't think he was going to share that, but I guess Joe Rogan just gets things people out of people when they're talking to him on his podcast.
Well, it's like the Joshy situation. After 30 hours, you just start saying stuff. After 3 hours with Rogan, you probably just start saying stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you. I'll have to get the spark notes on that, because I'm not going to invest 3 hours. So, look, I don't know if that's a... Let me put it this way. Having been in that position when Paula was going through breast cancer, I would say that that is obviously a very legitimate thing to be worried about and caring about the people you love and that sort of thing. So I'm not in any way suggesting that's not. At the same time, I didn't stop working, right? I mean, different jobs to be sure, but I think in some ways, you know, if it's not impossible to be there for those folks that are going through that and at least give the Steelers an answer and a plan for what they're going to do, what he's going to do with them, right? And maybe he has and just hasn't said it out loud, like he hadn't said the reasoning behind the personal things that he had been talking about with McAfee. But I don't have any idea what he's going to do. I really don't. So I don't know what Ian's sourcing is on that. I have not exchanged text messages with him in a while. As long as he's there so he can play against the Packers on October 26th and we can all spend that week gearing up for that, that's all I care about.
Jason, Gabe told me about a list, top 25, PFF. Under 25, and the Packers didn't have one player on it. Is that not good when you are the youngest team in
the
league?
Are you serious?
Yeah. Yes. PFF.
Oh, this is going to be juicy.
Yeah, PFF did their top 25, under 25, zero Green Bay Packers.
Their whole roster is on.
That's what I said. I go, you would think the sheer percentage of qualified players would get them at least a couple.
Yes. Holy moly. That's amazing.
The Lions had five, Jason, for context. The Lions
also
had
not
five.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's offensive. Wow. I know this doesn't happen very often on this program, but I'm speechless. it's probably not fair to put football focus, but I always, every time I talk about them, I say, now their grades are not the end all be all, or they're not the perfect measurement or whatever caveats I deliver. But still, like, that's crazy, because your entire program has now become predicated on being forever young, like Rod Stewart once saying, right? Like, even they're going to turn over I'm still convinced that they're going to turn over that offensive line, and just that's always going to be the way with Goody, and it could be that way with wide receivers too, that it's just going to be, all right, we're going to use up rookie contracts, and we're going to have new guys with rookie contracts that are then going to take their place. And so to not have anyone that is viewed that way, and you know, again, they have a much more global view because they pay attention to all 32 teams and grade all 32 teams. I don't nearly have the same knowledge base about the other 31 teams, but that feels awfully fair to me. I would argue that Tucker Kraft, is he 25 and under? Like, is he 26 now? I guess I don't know his age off the top of my head.
So Tucker is 24. So okay, Tucker Kraft is 24, Edgerrin Cooper 23, you know, potential guys that could have made this list that did not. They didn't have like an honorable mention either, Jason. They just cut it off right at 25.
Mm-hmm. I'm always a big fan of honorable mentions. It's an easy way to sneak more names into your list.
But yeah, when you take a look at tight ends, that was one of the five that made it for the Detroit Lions. Sam Laporta was number 23.
I also looked at the list and said, oh, these guys are pretty good here, too. There's a lot of really good young talent.
Yeah, because you're going, okay, who shouldn't be on this list? You're kind of going, who?
Yeah.
But that goes back to the conversation we've had on this program many, many, many times, which is you got to have studs.
Mm-hmm.
Where are your studs?
Yep.
Who's the guy on the Green Bay Packers that you go, ooh, scary? You know, and Xavier McKinney, you could make that. He's obviously over 25. Josh Jacobs, over 25 as well. But if they are priding themselves on being, if it is a point of emphasis to be a young team, some of those guys got to hit, man. So, again, you could sit here and go, well, it's a smattering from all over the league. There's no real overwhelming. Oh, wait. The Lions. Five. Ugh.
Yeah.
So, I think that's part of it. And we're going to talk about that.
And when you say that, Jen, the other good point you just made is that do they have other studs? Like, do they have other guys that you would argue are legitimate studs?
Yes.
Because if... Who would you say is who else?
Are we talking about the Packers?
You're
or the
talking
Lions?
Other teams.
Yes. I was talking about the Lions because the Lions have five guys on this list, and then they have more studs on top of the people on this list.
Agreed. So who else are the Packers studs? Because when Jen says that, she does mention two guys that weren't even on the team a year ago, right? Like they brought them in free agency. So if you're draft and develop and always be young, is putting pressure on. Hey, I got to hit on these picks because we're always going to be turning guys over. They got a bunch of good players that have not popped to the degree to be considered a stud. Mm-hmm. Is that fair?
Yes. Very fair.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Enjoy your weekend, and we will talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wilde. Wilde and Tausch is on right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. We will take a break. Got Craig Karmazin coming up next. Stick around.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
Gabe, you're right. I actually just looked at the stats. No hypocrite has ever won a championship.
Fridays with Mo.
Mark Attanasio, the last thing he wanted to do was play a video and tribute Craig Council in any way. So I give Mark Attanasio a ton of credit.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is sponsored by Landworks Landscape Services. Their creative and talented team will design, build, enhance, and maintain beautiful landscapes in southeastern Wisconsin. Learn more and see their work at landworkswisconsin.com.
All right, let's check in with Craig Karmazin. Good morning, Craig. Where are you today?
I am in West Palm Beach, Florida today.
Oh, lucky. I bet the weather there is lovely.
Yeah, Chewy's upset.
Yeah. Why?
It's 94.
Yeah,
it's... I thought you were going to finish your sentence.
No, I just asked why you're in West Palm.
It is your buddy Steve's 50th birthday tomorrow.
Steve pulled a sneer?
Yes. So I timed being here for, I'm currently on a road show of all of GKB. I've been in Beaver Dam, Madison, Milwaukee, Atlanta, and West Palm this week. So I decided to space it out so I could be here today.
I did a show with Homer on Wednesday. He said Giannis is gone. I said, no way. And he wouldn't move.
Yeah. I mean, have we fact-checked Homer over the years? Like, do we have a percentage accuracy of things that Homer says? Like,
he knows a lot of fiction, like, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you look at with Giannis is the same talk that happens every year. Like, how is this year different from any other year, except for the fact that 35% of the salary cap is out with Dame Lillard's injury for a good portion, at least, of next year. So what the Bucks have to do is use this offseason, which I know people weren't excited about the Chris Middleton trade, but what it does now is you're below the second apron, so you have more cap flexibility to put the right team around Giannis, who now you know is going to have the ball in his hands a lot more, like he did in the last 8 games of the regular season that the Bucks won when Dame was out with the blood clot.
How long do you think this goes? Do we get a resolution soon? I know there was the report that they were going to meet at some point this week from Chris Haynes. Or is that a meeting that's going to decide things? Or is that just the first touch point and then more conversations happen as we continue this offseason?
I mean, I've always said with you guys from the first appearance, we talked about this, my first ever appearance on this show. I just think it's an ongoing discussion, right? Like, the Bucks and Giannis and his representatives have incredible relationships, and they talk very consistently. So I don't think there's going to be an end to this ever. Like, I think as long as you have one of the best players in the world, there's always going to be discussions about what Giannis's future is going to be and if he's going to stay with the Bucks and all that. So I don't think it's ever going to end.
Craig, one of the storylines this week we were following was Charles Barkley saying that he believed that John Halliburton should be able to go to the rest of the games, however long the Pacers are in the NBA playoffs. Do you agree that the Pacers should rescind the punishment, which is that he can't be there after he taunted Giannis after that series?
There is no way. Once you realize what Tyrese Halliburton is capable of, and like you saw what happened last game, that comeback in Madison Square Garden against the Knicks after he did the same thing to the Cavs that he did to the Bucks. Like, what John Halliburton would have done in Madison Square Garden after game one, like, I fear for what he could have done. Like, Tyrese is exciting people to such a degree. I think it's, like, in John Halliburton's best interest to keep him away. I mean, that would have been too much for any father to handle, much less John Halliburton. I mean, we are witnessing history right now.
Yeah, but it's his dad. I mean, can't you put restrictions on it? Whether he's no lower than the 20th row or in a box, I mean...
He would have... When that ball bounced up in the air, he may have tipped it in. He was so excited. Like that when the ball went straight up in the air after Tyrese's ball hit the back of the rim, I mean, that guy would have been so energized. No, of course he could be at the game, right? Like... He learned his lesson. He's been to a million games. He's a professional guy. Of course he can be at these games.
Yeah, very professional. Very, very professional. I've been watching NBA games for a long time, Craig. Haven't seen too many fathers wander out onto the floor and not be stopped. Very professional.
Yeah, what he did was wrong.
Very professional.
What he did was wrong. What he did was wrong, and it was appropriate to keep him away. I also think it was great that he wasn't there after game one because there would have been natural attention on him.
Correct.
And what Tyrese Halliburton is deserves all of the attention. So I think for Tyrese, for the Pacers, the best thing is for him not to be there. But if he was there, it'd be fine. There wouldn't be any big deal. But, I mean, Tyrese is putting together for a Wisconsin kid a postseason run unlike anything that anyone's ever done before in terms of the buzzer beaters and last-second heroics. And it's great that the attention can actually be on Tyrese.
Well, that's the thing. The league wants the stories to be about the players and the stars, and they don't want the stories to be about the dad in the stands and whatever he's going to do, which the NBA is also an interesting...
As opposed to the NBA, NFL, which is about family. The NFL is about family.
So to compare this, because I always feel this is a conversation when a lot of the big teams, they get knocked out. Like, the brand-name teams get knocked out in the NBA, and a lot of discussion is, oh, the league can't be happy, only the Knicks remain. Why is that the discussion in the NBA when this is supposed to be a star-driven league and you do have Tyrese Halliburton who's becoming a huge star? You have the MVP in SGA in Oklahoma City. Anthony Edwards each and every day is being talked about potentially being the face of the league. Why are these young teams in smaller markets with big time stars? Why is that a bad thing? Why is that perception bad for the league?
It's a great thing for the league, but you know, naturally the biggest ratings come from LeBron James and Steph Curry. So they are the best known stars. They are legendary players whose peaks of their players have of their careers have lasted as long as anyone in the history of the sport. So if you're going to root for the highest audience, you're going to root for either LeBron or Steph Curry. Now, SGA is someone who most people don't know. Like, if you're not an NBA fan, because he's only won one postseason round before this year. But the resume he's going to have coming off of this year and the way he plays and who he is as a person, you know, coming into next year, SGA will be one of those stars that people start to think about. The same way Giannis wasn't thought about that way, even after he'd won an MVP. It took him needing to go through that gauntlet, needing to win a championship, needing to win a finals MVP before he was thought about in that way. And I think that's the natural progression we see in the sport.
Well, I hope that it is a point on the trajectory of things changing as far as the perception of the league and who needs to be important and all of that. The other thing that you weigh in is the parity that you see now. The NBA will have a seventh straight different champion in 2025. Obviously, Minnesota and Indiana have never won an NBA title. And I think that adds credence to what Gabe often says on this very program, which is winning a title is hard. You know, for all the people who are frustrated about the Bucks not winning a second title yet with Giannis in a Bucks uniform.
Chewy.
What?
Chewy.
I didn't see it.
Giannis doesn't have two championships, so, like, you know, things aren't good in the world.
Well, Rodgers only has one. And that's the argument. I'm sorry.
Well, no, but you.
When you talk about Favre and Rodgers, 30-something years, first thing you bring, they only won one.
I've been around long enough, and I bet if I searched YouTube, I could find it.
Find what?
There was an ad where you were in it, where you're yelling that you would be terrible for 10 years if you got one championship.
Was I getting paid?
I don't know. It was a TV spot for the all new 540 ESPN.
But Jen, that is a real. Oh my God, that is funny.
Yeah, you remember that commercial? And then Greeny and Golic stole the exact same thing, and you did nothing about it, Craig. You did nothing.
That was a great TV commercial that we did. So, Jen, it's such a good point, and the new collective bargaining agreement, and I mentioned earlier the second apron and the first apron, it really makes it tough to keep a team together with a lot of stars. Like, we're going to see if the Boston Celtics, who just paid $6 billion, are willing to lose over $50 million next year operating their team with an injured Jason Tatum through most of the year, or if Drew Holiday, who we all love, is going to be someone who a bunch of teams are lining up, like the Detroit Pistons, like maybe even the Orlando Magic, teams who want to win and want to learn how to win are going to be lining up because the Boston Celtics will be willing to trade Drew Holiday because of how difficult this second apron is to work out. Like, all of these championship teams, right? Denver wins, and then, you know, key players aren't retained. Like, it's very tough to keep your team together. And when you do it the way the Bucks do and did, it makes it even harder because you have to give up a lot of assets to do it. You're stuck with the salary cap. So I think there's going to be more and more of this parity, Jen, you talk about. The one thing I would say is Oklahoma City is stacked for a long time to come with first round draft picks. 7 in the next 3 years on top of the roster they have.
Craig, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.
Hey, wait. Congratulations, Jen.
What?
We've talked enough about Jen's Emmy Awards and all of her accomplishments. Congratulations, Jen.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Just out of curiosity, how would that come up on the show?
It came up yesterday.
I would assume that you would bring it up, you know, to want to be praised for all of your good work.
How long have you known Jen?
No, I did not think that, but I think she would have co-hosts and other people who would be praising her. And I would think when each person comes on, they would then give you a congratulations, which I want to make sure to do.
Well, thank you, Craig. I appreciate that. Have a great weekend.
All right. Thanks, y'all.
What does it mean to be a local bank at Great Midwest Bank? They are small, but their coworkers understand the local community because they are part of it. Every one of the Great Midwest Bank employees lives here. The customers live just down the street, and they get customized products and services that others cannot offer. So naturally, after almost 90 years, giving back is an obligation that Great Midwest Bank is proud to provide. Great Midwest Bank is simply giving and simply local.
You were listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Yes, that would have been much worse ended up happening.
Finally got the which would be worse and what would be better. Finally, yes. We figured it out.
You can't just be showing your junk on national TV.
It would have got a lot of clicks.
On 94.5 ESPN.
At Ewald Automotive Group, they don't just see the uniform. They see the people in them. They will service those who serve, our brave first responders. Thank you for your dedication, sacrifice, and for keeping us safe. As always, service members and their families can benefit from the Military Advantage Program with special pricing and incentives at Ewald Automotive. On every vehicle and for every new car sold this month, Ewald will make a donation to local military and first responder charities. Thank you from the Ewald Automotive Group, and it always starts at ewaldauto.com. I'm a bad boyfriend, I'm a drug addict, you're my favorite
poison. You know, yesterday we put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Infinity Exteriors Twitter poll. Mike Clay projects Matthew Golden to lead the Packers in targets, receptions, yards, and touchdowns this season. It didn't have a ton of votes at the time, you know, because it was a late vote poll in our show. But now, significantly more, and 60% of people disagree. 60% of people don't think that he is going to lead the team. And Chewy, no. You were one of them.
Yeah, as a rookie, it's such a crapshoot. Although I think he will contribute those numbers just based on how they do things. They cut up the reps between all of them. I don't think he'll be on the field enough to hit those numbers.
I mean, I still think he's got a really good chance. If Jaden Reed's only going to be on the field in slot situations, I'm expecting Golden to be on the field potentially more than Jaden Reed.
And they're running a lot more two tight end sets this season.
Exactly. If they do that, if that's the way that they go and they continue to run the football the way that they have, yeah, I think Golden's got potential to be out there a little bit more.
Also, if Golden is as good as we hope or as is promised based on the draft capital, guess who's going to be lining up in the slot?
Matthew Golden.
Because all the good players in the NFL who proved themselves as needing to be on the field a lot, they play all the positions. We had it right here, Devonta Adams. Not traditionally what you'd view as a slot player, but you can motion him there and get a distinct advantage against the defense. Remember how many times Joe Barry had Preston Smith against, you name the superstar wide receiver in the slot?
Because I chose to Men in Black my way through those moments.
Yeah, that's what the Packers want to
do. No wonder this guy got fired.
The Packers want to create more of that, mismatches. And that's how you do it, by moving those guys around.
Yeah. I mean, you don't go into the first game of the year and go, oh, I got the playbook down. Nailed it. That doesn't happen with rookies because there's just too much there. So
then how do you explain more get then how do you explain all these guys that have been racking up 1,000-yard season as rookies?
Their teams really suck.
I mean,
no one else to throw to. I mean,
look around.
No, but
you.
I mean,
look around.
They're gonna cut up reps between Dobbs, Reed.
Are they?
Wicks.
Are they?
Yeah, they do it every year. That's just how they roll.
Yeah, because they don't have anybody that has the athletic ability to separate and potentially be that guy. Now they do.
I'm just saying, as a rookie, it's rare.
I don't think it's as rare. In the 90s?
Yeah.
Yes. In 2025? No.
Let me ask you this. What were Harrison's numbers from last year with the league?
Brian Thomas Jr., Malik Nabers, Ladd McConkey all had over 1,000 yards. Yes.
Who do they play for? The Giants, who are terrible. No one to throw to.
Also, Marvin Harrison, 62 catches, 885 yards, 8 touchdowns.
He came on towards the end of the season.
Which is not very far off of the projection.
That's not 881. It's not 881.
What do you mean?
It's more?
It's more.
What were the numbers
For Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Yeah, no, but he's talking about Golden.
Yeah, 881. Like, well, that's pretty
not,
much the
that's
year
not
that Marvin, that
you
Marvin
said,
Harrison
no,
had.
You got to be over. This is, you can't be under.
Under
you
what?
You can't say, oh, I was close.
Price is right. We're reverse prices, right?
But this is all based on taking a bet. You either take the under or the over. I'm saying I'm taking the under, and you're saying, well, 865, You don't win.
No, he's saying he's one explosive play away from hitting the numbers that they're projecting for Golden.
Repeat the number.
For Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yes.
62 catches, 885 yards, 8 touchdowns. Oh.
885?
All right, so barely.
Pivot! Rivers!
I'm not apologizing.
Well, that's clear. Nope. Yeah.
Like, this would lead the Packers. That's what I'm talking about.
I'm Brad. I did nothing wrong. Sorry.
It's a Friday. He's got to lash out.
It's fine. We need to take a break anyway because I want to get to that.
Did you get
article.
Hung up on the 62 receptions?
I think you heard 862 because then I heard 862. So the 62, yes, got very much focused on,
what
highlighted.
What was yesterday?
Blammer Thursday.
Oh, and you don't get to see the Blammer as much anymore.
Ooh, I'm seeing him Saturday for lunch. Someone doesn't know that yet.
They do now, spies. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Much more to come. Second hour right after this.